When the Los Angeles Dodgers signed prize free agent Kyle Tucker to a four-year, $240 million contract, Josh Peter of the USA Today wrote a column in which he claimed that the Dodgers, in outspending their competition by obscene amounts of money to build an unbeatable roster, had become the most hated team in baseball. Peter's final words to the Dodgers, who have won the last two World Series, "Congratulations, you have bought your way to the top." When I was growing up in Pittsburgh in the 1950s, my Pirates and Steelers were terrible, so they had no sports rivals for me to hate, like Bear fans hate the Packers and Cub fans hate the Cardinals. So I hated the teams that were the perennial champions of their sports. There were those damn Yankees that always seemed to be in the World Series in the 1950s, and Notre Dame, who dominated college football during the same era by recruiting, we claimed they were stealing, high school stars from the Pittsburgh area, like Heisman Trophy winners Johnny Lujack and Leon Hart. The Yankees and the Pirates were in different leagues, so they didn't play each other, but my father had his bitter memories of Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and the Yankees sweeping my poor Pirates in four games in the 1927 World Series. My father had to wait years for the Pirates to avenge that embarrassing loss when they met and defeated the Yankees of Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra in the 1960 World Series on Bill Mazeroski's dramatic home run.
There's a drive into deep left field. Look out now. That ball is going. Going out. There's going another. Mazeroski hits it over the left field fence for a home run, and the Pirates win it 10-9 and win the World Series. And the fans go wild.
That 1960 World Series victory was, and still is, the happiest moment of my life as a Pirates fan, and marked the end of my hatred of the Yankees, though I have to admit that I still have a lingering dislike for them. My hatred for the Fighting Irish had a longer duration and a much different ending. It lasted well into the 1980s until our daughter Anne decided to attend Notre Dame. Once Anne started playing in the band and Notre Dame started sending us tickets for home games, I became a Notre Dame football fan. These cold winter days, my wife Anita and I often wear matching Notre Dame sweatshirts. In the 1970s, my Pirates and Steelers finally had winning teams. During the decade, the Pirates won two World Series and the Steelers won four Super Bowls, so I finally had plenty of rivals to hate. In the early 1970s, the Cincinnati Reds were the major rivals of my Pirates, and a team that was easy to hate because they had the most hated player in baseball, Pete Rose. It was those Reds who denied the Pirates a return trip to the World Series after they had won in 1971 by defeating the Pirates in the bottom of the ninth of the deciding game of the 1972 National League playoffs. The Reds' win cost Roberto Clemente a chance to play in another World Series. He died just a few months later in a plane crash. My Steelers didn't have a serious rivalry until they started winning Super Bowls in the 1970s. Their first real rival was John Madden's Oakland Raiders. Then it was Bump Phillips' Houston Oilers and Tom Landry's Dallas Cowboys. These days, Steeler fans hate the Steelers' division rival, the Baltimore Ravens, who were once the Cleveland Browns. Steeler fans thought the old Cleveland Browns were bullies, and so with a new team now in Cleveland and in the same division of the Steelers and the Ravens, they get to hate both the Ravens and the Browns. But of course, there are less fanatical sport fans who are incapable of hating their favorite team's rival. When my wife Anita watches a Pirates, Steelers, or Notre Dame game, she roots for our favorite team, but wonders why either team has to lose. She's even gone so far as to suggest that it might be more fun if teams didn't keep score. Now, I love Anita, but I have to admit that I hate that idea. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.